You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour, folks. I'm happy to be here again. I hope you are, too. We are pre-recording an interview with my good friend, Matt Barber, who is on the board of Americans for Truth. Matt is also a frequent guest on this program. He is the, I believe he is the associate dean. Is that correct, Matt?
That's correct.
Of the Liberty University School of Law. He's also the director of cultural affairs for Liberty Council, which is a Christian pro-family action group. And Matt, you had the interesting, well, I wouldn't call it a privilege, although I would call it a duty, of you attended a pro-pedophilia conference.
In, I did.
That these are people who advocate. Let's just. It's the phrase I found most stunning about this expose. You attended this conference in Baltimore was minor attracted persons. What was this conference?
Yeah, that's the wonderful euphemistic language of the left. They have to, you know, if they argue their positions on the merits and actually use accurate language, they lose. So they do two things. They attack those that disagree with them with the ad hominem attack, and then they couch their position with a bunch of euphemistic flowery language to try to make it, sound not so bad. That's a minor attracted person. Sounds a whole lot better than, you know, pedophile or child rapist. And so,
right.
So that's typical of the politically correct sexual anarchist movement, particularly. And of course, the sexual anarchist movement is the big umbrella. Under that umbrella, you've got the pedophile movement. You have the homosexual activist movement. You have your radical feminists and your pro-aborts and the abortion industry, Planned Parenthood, and so forth. They're all part of this sexual anarchy movement, which basically tries to do away with our nation's traditional Judeo-Christian sexual ethic and supplant that with this morally relative, hey, if it feels good, do it, anything goes, and there are no real consequences for your actions. This is what we have. So I attended this conference.
Now, the conference is called the Before You Act Conference.
Before You Act, this is a group of pedophiles and sympathetic elitist academic types, MDs, PhDs, psychiatrists. The amazing thing is that many of the speakers are from very reputable institutions. Dr. Fred Berlin was the keynote speaker from Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. There were representatives there from Harvard, from the University of Texas, and right there near you, the University of Illinois, what, Urbana, I guess. And so it was just unbelievable what I was hearing in this conference, Pete. They knew who I was. They know who I was there with, Dr. Judith Riesman, a colleague here at Liberty University School of Law, one of the foremost researchers and critics of Alfred Kinsey, who ultimately is responsible for where we are today in this sexual anarchy climate that we live in.
But, man, let's lay the groundwork. You know,
sure.
Homosexuality was normalized before. One of the key components of it being normalized was it was first studied. And so what happens is first something is studied, and then they talk about tolerance for that group of people, and then they talk about complete normalization, and now with homosexuality we have celebration and actually displacing of people's right to disagree with homosexuality. So this is now the point where we are studying pedophilia, and I had no idea until I went to the Before You Act website that there is a huge movement aimed at studying pedophiles and basically laying the claim that they're not really that aberrant, right?
Well, that's one of the strategies, sure, is to couch everything in the credibility of science, the credible-sounding language of science. So they conduct these quasi-studies, come up with this information, and say, well, if science says it's so, it must be so. That's why, for instance, in 1973, in the late 60s, early 70s, the homosexual activists were so forceful in their political activism, lobbying the American Psychiatric Association to have homosexuality removed as a disorder from the Diagnostic and Statistics Manual. Back then, they in fact stormed the annual conference, you know, loud and proud, marching, screaming, yelling, and ultimately the APA, which is made up of sympathetic, you know, liberal-minded people, based on a political calculus, not a therapeutic or scientific calculus, they removed homosexuality from the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. And what is interesting is that this conference I was at, this Before You Act pedophile conference, Dr. Fred Berlin, one of the most well-respected sexologists alive today, and by respected I mean by those who embrace the Keynesian model of the sexual anarchy.
He doesn't have your respect, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely not. Dr. Berlin acknowledged that it was political activism similar to that I witnessed and Dr. Riesman witnessed at the conference, rather than, again, scientific conclusions that successfully led to the declassification of homosexuality as a mental disorder. He said this, and this is a quote, "The reason homosexuality was taken out of the DSM is that people didn't want the government in the bedroom." So here we have now, this is a natural outgrowth of the homosexual activist movement, is let's take it to the next level here. In our tolerance and acceptance of diversity, as Dr. Berlin calls it, the minor attracted person, quote, sexual orientation, needs to be removed as a disorder from the DSM as well. And we need to, you know, as a society, have tolerance for these child rapists.
Okay, now let's back up. I want to get into that sexual orientation thing because I think that's crucial. But who attended this? Were this some homosexual pedophiles, some straight pedophiles? Who was there?
Yeah, primarily it appeared to be the homosexual pedophiles. And in fact, one of the self-identified gay activists there, apparently he never made it clear whether or not he himself is a minor attracted person, but a young man by the name of Jacob Breslow, and he was one of the speakers, and this young man said this, and I need to point out here, the whole focus of the conference was that pedophiles are unfairly demonized and vilified and stigmatized in society. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Going back to the homosexual activists' claims.
Make them victims.
Yeah, make them the victims, and in this case, make the victimizers the victims. And the other crux was, hey, quote, you know, the majority of pedophiles are gentle and rational. And then the other main crux that I walked away with was that, quote, we are not required to interfere with or inhibit our child's sexuality. Children are not inherently unable to consent to sex with an adult. And in fact, it's not allowing children to consent to sex with an adult that results in stigmatization and criminalization of pedophilia. So unbelievable.
Yeah, Matt, you know, this is just so incredibly evil. We both have young children. I don't want somebody who calls themselves a minor attracted person, I don't care what they call themselves, if they are sexually attracted to prepubescent children, they shouldn't be around children, period. And one of the claims, I was on the website for this Before You Act, is they say, oh, yeah, they're able to be around children without engaging in sexual conduct. The point is, you don't want a pedophile around your children. You don't want him ogling your son if he's a homosexual pedophile. You don't want him ogling your daughter if he's a so-called straight pedophile. We have incidents now of lesbian pedophilia. You don't want a lesbian ogling your daughter. You do not want these people around kids.
That's exactly right, and especially when you consider this group, you know, Before You Act, basically they're NAMBLA, all, you know, the National North American Man Boy Love Association. They're all dolled up and covered in the credible language of you know,
academia,
science,
right.
Yeah, academia and science. They're just basically a dressed up, tempered in their language, at least, version of NAMBLA, but not that tempered. Jacob Breslow, when he was on and talking about, do we want these people around our children? Listen to what Jacob Breslow said. He, again, this is the self-described gay activist who was a speaker there. He said, children can be, quote, the object of our attraction. He referred to a child as it, compared the child to a shoe, and used graphic slang language, Pete, to approvingly describe the act of climaxing, and for this was a slang term he used, quote, on or with the child. No one in attendance objected to this. He also said that, you know.
Back up. We got a minute and 30 to the break. He's talking about doing the sexual act on top of a child, ejaculating on a child.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
and people laughed.
People laughed. What did Fred Berlin do? He's the guy heading the show.
Nobody said a thing. Fred Berlin, who's a sharp fella, this conference, he knew all too well Judith Riesman and I were there. He came back and sat by us, in fact. He was trying to play damage control through the whole thing. He ended up getting away from things he said in the past and basically sounding like he worked for the Heritage Foundation. he stood up and said, well, now, you know, Mr. Breslow, after his speech, Mr. Breslow, you know, you're going to anger some people with that. And in fact, and then he kind of looks over at us, wink, wink, nod, nod. Some people are going to write about this. So he was scratching his head going, what have I done? Why am I here? Not because he disagrees. In fact, he opened his speech with, I agree fully with the goal of Before You Act. He just knew he was caught and that we were going to report it and that it was going to negatively reflect on him and Johns Hopkins University and what, you know, what are they thinking? So, he tried to play damage control. But these pedophiles couldn't control themselves. They really believe this stuff. They're drinking their own Kool-Aid, so they're not afraid to share it.
Yeah, we're talking to Matt Barber of Liberty Council. He attended a pedophile conference. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth. We are a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the homosexual activists, bisexual, transsexual, and, of course, we are strongly opposed to pedophilia, and it's just shocking that it is now being... There are serious attempts by, of course, the academic elites to normalize pedophilia. And, folks, before I forget, I want to remind people of our upcoming banquet, October 15th. We have Dr. Erwin Lutzer from Moody Church. It's going to be a wonderful evening. It's only $10, $20 at the door. But please make plans to attend. Also, I want to remind people in Illinois of Defend Marriage Illinois, the effort to get a pro-marriage referendum on the ballot defining marriage as one man and one woman in the state of Illinois. You can get download a petition and instructions at defendmarriageillinois.org. We're talking to Matt Barber, who had the guts with Dr. Judith Riesman to go to this pedophile conference. Matt, this is what AFT is all about. And, you know, we've been doing this for years. I'm so thankful that you went to this because had you not gone, had you and Judith not been there, nobody would know about this. Parents have no clue that there are academics who are seeking to justify pedophilia, sex with children, under the guise of, okay, sexual orientation. I noticed that one of the claims, and I want you to comment on this, I was on the Before You Act website. This is a pro-pedophile group. They seem to be going out of their way to say that, you know, these pedophiles, Matt, they're kind of just like you and me. In fact, on this, there's a PowerPoint by a guy named Richard Kramer. Did you meet him at the conference?
He was the last speaker. Unbelievable what I heard from this.
Okay, let's have you talk about Kramer. But he says, here's one of the things he says. He says, well, in his PowerPoint, he says, most adults may have some feelings of attraction to minors. And then he goes on to say, if I could find it on the PowerPoint here, he says that, you know, it's really not, studies have found that that pedophiles, they quote, they do not exhibit narcissism, psychosexual immaturity, low intelligence, aversion to adults, psychopathology, neurosis, or any personality disorder more than people attracted to adults. In other words, the message is, quote, minor attracted people, that's again the code word for pedophiles, minor attracted people have various personality disorders. They're trying to debunk that myth and they're saying, hey, they don't really have any personality disorders, Matt.
Well, that's exactly right. And they actually went on and said that an adult, you know, man, for instance, being attracted to a, you know, 3-year-old boy, wanting to have sex with that boy is, quote, normative. They called that normative, Pete. This is how delusional these individuals are. And Kramer, as he was speaking, I was appalled at what I heard. And this is my opinion, but what he was saying was just, it seemed completely narcissistic, bordering on a sociopathy. He said at one point that somebody, Dr. Berlin, is trying to steer the conversation. Well, now, with prepubescent children, at least, there is a evidence that there can be harm if an adult has sex with them. Harm, he's talking about psychological harm. Put the physical mechanics aside. Harm, Kramer says, no. So we do need to focus on the harm caused to children. Kramer says, what we really need to focus on the harm that, it can harm children. It can stigmatize and harm the post-pubescent child who is attracted to the prepubescent child. So again, it comes back to the victims are we the pedophile, and really we don't need to worry so much. In fact, he said specifically that we focus too much attention on the harm that this causes the child, and the DSM doesn't focus enough on the quote needs of the pedophile.
Yeah, we're not doing enough to cultivate the needs of the pedophile.
Yeah. So that was
holy moly.
This conference, I was a former police officer. You know this. I've dealt with homicide. I've dealt with suicide. I've dealt with all forms of violence and evil. I felt more spiritual oppression in that room. You could almost smell the sulfur. There was pure evil in that room, Pete. And I don't say that to, I'm going to be accused of stigmatizing and demonizing pedophiles. It was just that palpable.
Well, look, pedophiles are essentially perverts. There used to be a term that was widely used in our society, people with abnormal sexual attractions. Homosexuals used to be called perverts. Oh, that's terrible. But we're talking about people who are, now, when you bring sexual orientation in there, what they're trying to say now is, this is who they are, just like the homosexuals. They're duplicating the homosexual activist strategy, right, Matt? They're saying, I am a MAP, a minor attracted person. This is who I am. Well, then from there, it goes to the law, and you have to start making legal accommodations for pedophiles.
Yep. Pete, they're following the gay rights playbook to a T. All the same talking points. We were born this way. We cannot change. People need to be tolerant of our sexual orientation. But that's no surprise, Pete, when you consider that historically, now, the homosexual activists have figured out that it is politically detrimental to continue to associate with pederasts and the pedophile movement. But for many, many years, they were ideological cousins, and in many ways, these two movements remain ideological cousins. Again, they're sexual anarchists, all of them.
The NAMBLA used to march in gay pride parades.
Well, exactly. Well, think about Harry Hay, who's one that still to this day is revered as a venerable pioneer of gay rights, self-identified homosexual and also a pedophile. Kevin Jennings, of course, the former safe school czar and founder of GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, said that Harry Hay is, he said, quote, one of the people that's always inspired me is Harry Hay. Well, listen to what Harry Hay has to say. In 1983, he said this, quote, I also would like to say at this point that it seems to me that in the gay community, the people who should be running interference for NAMBLA, that's the pedophile group, are the parents and friends of gays. Because if the parents and friends of gays are truly friends of gays, they would know from their gay kids that the relationship with an older man is precisely what 13, 14, and 15-year-old kids need more than anything else in the world, and they would be welcoming this and welcoming the opportunity for young gay kids to have the kind of experience that they would need, close quote. Not surprising, then, that Kevin Jennings, while he was a school teacher before he became the Safe School Czar, when a boy who he believed to be 15 years old, Jennings, came to him and said, hey, I was picked up in a bus stop restroom by an adult man, and he took me home, and we had sex. Kevin Jennings' only comment, you know, that non-judgmental comment was, well, I hope you knew to use a condom. You know, so should we be surprised that an activist movement in a gay community that refers to young boys as chicken, meaning that it's, you know, coveted, the young flesh is coveted, they're called chicken in their own vernacular, should we be surprised that Kevin Jennings would be dismissive of a sexual assault on a child?
Yeah, you know, this goes way back. And of course, you have homosexual men who were whatever the word you want to use. They were molested. They were victims of predators. But yet they see that not as a hindrance to their declaring a homosexual identity. They actually see that as part of the formation for their gay identity. And recently we saw the case, Matt, of the CNN anchor Don Lemon, who first admitted that he was a victim of a child molester. And then he comes out as gay. I want to tell him, Don, you are not gay. I don't believe in the inherent gayness. But even if I did, you are not gay. You are the victim of a predator.
Well, that's something else that came out at this conference. It was acknowledged by these therapists that, you know, not every person who is molested as a child ends up being gay or being a pedophile. But from a percentage standpoint, a high percentage of those who are molested, boys molested by a man, for instance, a high percentage. Now, these are the therapists talking, not me. This isn't my opinion. These are revered sexologists. A high percentage will end up identifying as gay, and a smaller percentage will end up repeating the crimes against them and also identifying it with a sexual orientation map, and they will end up being sexually attracted to and maybe even acting out their attractions with children. So, the homosexual activist movement tries to say that we were born this way. There's nothing, you know, we were not sexually molested. I'll tell you what, the majority of ex-gays that I know, their story always begins, well, when I was a young boy, I was assaulted by my uncle. When I was a young boy, I was molested by a neighbor. And you hear it over and over again.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
And yet somehow they're trying to deny that this is part of the pathology of homosexuality. It's just incredible.
Yeah, well, and I guess the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, you know, likes to label people hate groups and organizations hate groups.
They labeled AFTA a hate group, of course.
Yeah, I know they did. Well, they're a joke. This is the SPLC.
Which makes you a hate board member, Matt.
Exactly. The SPLC has lost all credibility, but they're going to need to go now and, of course, label Fred Berlin and all the therapists, the liberal therapists at this event. They're going to have to become hate. I guess Johns Hopkins is now a hate group because they acknowledge that sexual assault on children can lead to homosexuality and or pedophilia.
Yeah, that's part of the one of those bogus criteria that the SPLC had set up.
Exactly.
Now, Matt, we got a minute and 30 to the break. Talk about this thing of the age of consent. One of your points in your press release was that they say that the Anglo-American standard is puritanical. What is their goal with the age of consent?
Well, Pete, I asked specifically. I made no affirmative statements in this thing. I just asked questions. I put on my former investigator hat, and I said, I keep hearing, you know, the term prepubescent, and that there can be some, damage to a prepubescent child, but everyone seems to be, there seems to be a consensus that pubescent children are fair game. I'm just wondering, what's the general consensus on what is an appropriate age of consent? And I was shouted down. They knew. There's a gotcha question. Well, they still couldn't help themselves. One of the self-identified pedophiles said this, quote, Anglo-American standard on age of consent is new and puritanical. In Europe, it was always set at 10 or 12. Ages of consent beyond that are relatively new and very strange, especially for boys. They've always been able to have sex at any age. Well, the ultimate goal, of course, is a complete removal of age of consent laws.
Wow. We're talking to Matt Barber, who's my good friend. He's also a board member of Americans for Truth. You can get all our interviews, including previous interviews with Matt Barber, at AmericansForTruth.org, AmericansForTruth.org. Make a donation to us if you can as well. We're always hurting for money. We'll be right back after the break with Matt Barber.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
To the Americans for Truth Hour, folks. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth. You can check out our website at AmericansForTruth.org. You can find Matt Barber at Liberty Council. That's LC.org, LC.org. You can also check out the Liberty University School of Law, and Matt teaches a course there on sexual behavior in the law. Right, Matt?
I do.
Well, now we're actually talking about the DSM. Let's go to that. Now, the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, this is the Psychiatric Association, the American Psychiatric Association standard for what is a mental illness. Now, there has already been action on pedophilia. I forgot this, Matt. Correct me if I'm wrong. They already made a change in the DSM for pedophilia, saying if it doesn't bother you, wait a minute, correct me on this. What is the status of pedophilia in the DSM?
Well, the DSM-4 indicated...
That's the last one. That's the current one that's out published now?
Correct. They've already had a tremendous success in moving toward a declassification of pedophilia as a mental disorder. The political pressure that has been put on the APA. We need to say here, full disclosure, the American Psychiatric Association has already been revealed as a hard left-wing, really a quasi-scientific political organization, frankly. They've really lost much of their credibility. And evidence of that is a recent, they voted unanimously. The leadership in the APA voted unanimously to advocate on behalf of so-called, quote, marriage equality, you know, the notion of same-sex marriage. Purely a political and cultural issue. Well, they've betrayed their true colors here by engaging in political activism, the APA itself, and saying we support same-sex marriage. Okay, so that aside,
well, maybe they'll have pedophile marriage someday. You know, aside, a man could marry a 12-year-old boy. How about that? You know, once they get these laws changed.
Well, the APA understands at this point that it's not politically expedient to come out and overtly in support of pedophilia. However, they're doing it incrementally. They have, in order to have pedophilia to be considered a disorder in the APA, and I'll see if I can find the exact language, but the word is the person, the MAP, the minor attracted person, must be subjectively, quote, distressed by their own feelings and or actions. Well, from my perspective, I would think the majority of people who rape children may have a little bit of sociopathy going on or psychopathy. I highly doubt there's going to be any internal distress or discomfort.
So wait a minute. You're saying right now, according to the APA, if you are a happy pedophile, you do not have a mental disorder?
That's exactly right. If you're a happy, content pedophile, comfortable...
Before you go out to the parks to lure some boy, you know, by dropping the baseball, hey, how you doing, John? And by the way, one of the reports of this guy Kramer is, hey, you know, pedophiles are not aggressive. Hey, you know, parents, that's not good news for you, because if he's not aggressive, we don't like nice pedophiles.
Well,
you know,
no,
the ones who are having an easy time of relating to young boys or young girls, we don't want them to be nice.
Well, no, they're not aggressive. Many of them, some of them are. You hear about the kidnaps and the rapes and the murders of children, but they're more. I think the appropriate word is manipulative.
Yes.
They're slick. They know how to talk a kid into, you know, to engaging in sexual behavior with them. You know, but here's the latest, the DSM. It says that first of all, a pedophile is only a pedophile if there is a recurrent and more than 6 months of lusting after a prepubescent child. Again, only if it bothers you are you a pedophile. And I'm looking for the exact language here. The person has acted on these urges or the sexual urges or fantasies caused marked distress or interpersonal difficulty. Well, if you don't have any interpersonal difficulty and you like to rape children, you're good to go. No mental disorder there, folks.
Well, you know, this is amazing. Do you think, I mean, it's hard to know, is there a chance that pedophilia will be labeled a sexual orientation? That's what these guys want. That's the big kahuna for them, right? They want it to be that this is who they are, right?
Pete, we're almost there. I mean, from a legal, legislative, political standpoint, we're almost there. Especially from a therapeutic standpoint, we're almost there. Of course, it's their sexual orientation. What is sexual orientation? Well, you are oriented toward somebody who is the target of your orientation. For homosexuals, it's somebody of the same sex. For the pedophile, it's a child. You are oriented toward children in terms of your sexual attraction.
Yeah, and it's
Dr.
oriented.
Berlin has said it. Dr. Berlin, Fred Berlin of Johns Hopkins University, has said that pedophilia is a sexual orientation.
This is just unbelievable. Now, Matt, in the paper I got that the downloaded from the website Before You Act by Richard Kramer, just like the homosexuals, remember, he says it's not a choice. What is the cause of pedophilia? One of the points they're stressing is it's not a choice.
Well, that's the born that way.
Right.
Talking point.
I can't help it. I'm just attracted to young boys, right?
There's a reason behind that. It's a legal and political calculus. The reason they have to say that they're born this way is because the Supreme Court has ruled that for any identifiable class of people to obtain suspect minority status, that's a fancy legal term. We lawyers like to sound intelligent. To attain a suspect minority status, that means to be treated as a minority with special government protections and sanctioning of you, protecting you as a minority. They have to be identified and defined by an immutable, unchangeable characteristic. Well, we know that with untold thousands of people who have left homosexuality, that it's changeable, that it's mutable. So, and the same goes with the pedophiles. They need to say we were born this way so that they can gain that special protection,
right?
Suspect minority status. And Pete, while I'm on that topic, I've got to say something else that came out of this conference that is going to drive the homosexual activists nuts. Is that, and again, this isn't me. This is Dr. Fred Berlin, the guru of sexology, with the secular humanist, sexual anarchist left. Dr. Berlin, he appeared to endorse the much maligned, politically maligned clinical practice of reparative therapy for homosexuals and pedophiles alike. Pete, he said this, quote, "If someone, for their own reasons, doesn't want to live a homosexual lifestyle, I tell them that it's hard, but I'll try to help them." Well, so much for the notion that reparative therapy causes gays to be suicidal. Reparative therapy harms individuals. Baloney.
Yeah.
People can change and do change, and even Fred Berlin seems to be acknowledging that.
Well, now, Matt, the problem I'm having is that academics are set up as the experts, the authorities. And as we know from sexology, from the study, from people like Dr. Judith Riesman, who is a friend of both of us, the history of sexology, going back to Kinsey, is just rife with perversion. I mean, here's a quote from John Money. John Money said in the Journal of Pedophilia, he said, "If I were to see the case of a boy aged 10 or 11 who's intensely erotic attracted toward a man in his 20s or 30s, he goes on to say, I would not call it pathological in any way. So, Matt, the problem is that guys like Berlin are set up as the authority. In fact, I got a press release in front of me from SNAP, which is the Catholic group sexual network of those abused by priests. Berlin apparently was the authority that the Catholic Church relied on in their pedophilia cases.
Pete, you'll be interested to know that you said Berlin is. That's correct. Berlin still works with the – now, this is Berlin. This is a pro-pedophile activist and therapist. He is still – counseling the Catholic Church on their pedophile problem, on their homosexuality problem, and their homosexual pedophile problem. He's still counseling the Catholic Church on that, which is just mind-boggling. Now, I want to encourage everyone listening, Pete, if they want to get a full context of where we are, how we've arrived at this point of sexual anarchy in our country, my friend Dr. Judith Riesman, who was at the conference with me, and Mary McAllister, a Liberty Council attorney, have drafted a wonderful white paper. It's on lifesitenews.com, or you'll be able to find it elsewhere on the web. It's called Sexual Anarchy, The Kinsey Legacy. And it will give a complete history and kind of context of how we've arrived in a culture that embraces sexual anarchy and why we have STD rates through the roof, why we have astronomical teen pregnancy.
But Matt, let me ask you, what do we do? The problem is it's so frustrating. You're a lawyer. You know this. What do we do when the authorities that are cited, I mean, look, can you imagine if Catholics, if the everyday Catholic found out that the guy who's hired by the Catholic Church to counsel them on their homosexual pedophile problem, and it's mostly a homosexuality problem, I believe. I agree with Bill Donahue over at Catholic League on that. Can you imagine if they found out that this guy is pro-pedophilia? If he's talking about pedophilia as a sexual orientation, the outrage among Catholics alone?
Pete, again, the Before You Act conference said they said specifically that assuming children are unable to consent lends itself to criminalization and stigmatization. They want to remove stigmatization. They want to remove pedophilia as a criminal act. And Fred Berlin said this, quote, "I want to completely support the goal of Before You Act." He's counseling the Catholic Church on their homosexual problem, on their homosexual pedophilia problem, it boggles the mind.
And Before You Act, just to clarify, is out to educate, in their words, educate the academicians, professionals on pedophilia, of course, from a pro-pedophile approach. And I'm sure they're having effect, a great effect.
Sure they are. One of the speakers, I believe from the University of Texas, I can't remember his name offhand, he said that there was concern about, quote, vice-laden diagnostic criteria and, quote, cultural baggage of wrongfulness. So, and they also talked about sex panic. So you parents, when you panic, you know, at the idea of some pedophile raping your child, that's panic and it's unwarranted. That's cultural baggage. That's just your own baggage. Yeah, it's just that's what they're trying to do, polish up and remove the stigma attached with lust for children and child rape.
Wow. Matt, what do we do? We got 30 seconds here, but we'll go after the break, too. But what can parents do? What can people do right now?
Well, one place to start is I would call Johns Hopkins University and say, what gives? You know, people can be activists. One person can do a lot. Say, why do you have a man on staff who is advocating pedophilia?
I agree with you. We've got to hold academia accountable, as hard as that is. We'll be right back with Matt Barber after the break, talking about a pedophile conference he attended. I can't speak here. Talking to Matt Barber, who's my good friend. Matt, what was it like sitting in that conference? And Judith Reisman must have just been, I can't believe she must have been wanting to get up and give a speech, and she was sitting there. What was that like?
She was amazing. Judith sat there writhing in her seat. She kept leaning over to me and asking, can I say something? Can I say something? I said, Judith, we're just here to listen, to record and report. So we took copious notes, word for word quotes, recorded. Finally, toward the end, she did. She said, can I talk now? I said, go ahead. So she let loose in a very professional and thoughtful way and just was able to utterly gut the illogic of these people.
At the conference.
At the conference. I, again, just asked a number of very probing questions.
Give us another one that you asked and tell me, low point?
I asked if, I said they were talking about, one of the speakers was talking about how opiates can affect the brain and alcohol and drugs can remove inhibition and that can be part of what encourages a pedophile to act on his lust for children. I said, there's a great deal of research that also shows, here was my question, that pornography, both adult and child pornography, literally changes the neural pathways in the brain and becomes a physical, biological addiction. And what role does pornography play as an addiction in the desires and attractions that pedophiles have, or their the chance that they are going to act on those reactions, she looked at me and went, kind of like, huh, I've never really thought of that. Well, one activist pipes up in the room who apparently was an attorney, and it was very clear that he himself, I drew the conclusion that he may be a minor attracted person himself, but he became very defensive and said, there's no evidence that child pornography, he defends child pornographers in court, there's no evidence that child pornography leads to a person to act on their desires. In fact, there's evidence that it keeps them from doing it because it gives them an outlet for their sexual desires. So, you know, the implication there is that we should have more child pornography, and then we'll have less child rape. The logic of the left.
There were people there. Now, Fred Verlin, for example, there were people against, obviously, raping children. Were there some who were more like, actually did care about children, but they're still saying, oh, well, some children can consent? How were they trying to divide that?
No, absolutely. There were some that you know were willing to concede in a very non-judgmental way that, well, now we need to be honest. There are instances where a child-adult sex can lead to further complications in the future for children, and it can lead to certainly a person becoming a minor attracted person and repeating a cycle. So there was an acknowledging, but clearly the crux was with post-pubescent children. Hey, no sweat, anything goes. They were talking about prepubescent children. However, that was, I would say, a minority opinion in the room when you consider how many times the statement that essentially children are not inherently, you know, here are a couple of the quotes. We are not required to interfere with or inhibit our child's sexuality. That's one quote. Quote, children are not inherently unable to consent to sex with an adult. That's another quote. An adult's desire to have sex with children is normative. That's another quote.
Now, wait a minute. That one was the children are able to consent. So they're talking like
not, No. They're not. We're going to use some double negatives here. And my dad always said, don't use no double negatives. But these therapists were using double negatives. Children are not inherently unable to consent. That's a soft way of saying children can consent.
Okay. So basically, This is the NAMBLA position. An 8-year-old boy can consent to sex, so-called, with a 25-year-old man.
Well, that's exactly right, and something else that was said at the conference, that the Diagnostics and Statistical Manual ignores that pedophiles, quote, have feelings of love and romance for children in the same way adult heterosexuals and homosexuals have romantic feelings for one another, and, quote, the majority of pedophiles are gentle and rational. So, you know, going back to Harry Hay, the homosexual activist pioneer, the best thing that can happen to a, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-old is to have a loving sexual relationship with an adult man, you know. So yeah, that was the underlying message in the room. There were those in the therapeutic community, I would say a minority, that were at the conference that at least with prepubescent children thought that should be completely off limits. So in the interest of fairness and full disclosure, yeah, there were some that drew the line somewhere, but another overreaching message of the entire event was that as one person said, quote, in Western culture, sex is taken too seriously. And another said, our society, this is a therapist, and why a therapist is making such a political and cultural calculation is beyond me. Our society should, quote, maximize individual liberty. We have a highly moralistic society that is not consistent with liberty. So again, this is all couching a worldview of moral relativism. There is no right and wrong, no clear lines of demarcation between right and wrong. If it feels good, do it. There is no God. We're not accountable to a God. We're only accountable to our own feelings. And if we're not distressed by those feelings, why then have at it?
Right. And it's defining deviance down, and this is the worst of it when you get to the children. And Matt, it also strikes me that when we got away from behavior and started talking about orientation, that's where the problems happen. Behavior is what it's all about. I don't care if it's an older man who's trying to seduce my daughter or an older man trying to seduce your son. It's the behavior it's wrong. We cannot be indulging this talk about orientation for people who are – what they have is perverse desires. And we don't know if they're going to act on them. And the more you indulge the idea of the orientation towards the desire, the more you are likely, there is a likelihood that they're going to act on their desires, just like the more we indulge homosexuality as an orientation, we increase the likelihood that men would practice and boys would practice homosexual behavior.
Well, of course, it's in vogue in a lot of schools today to be bisexual or gay or lesbian. Kids are being told by our culture that, hey, it's cool. If you're exploring it, even if you're questioning your sexuality, on the Department of Health and Human Services website, Kathleen Sebelius, Secretary of Health and Human Services, they are saying that people, children are, quote, sexual beings, and they are actually encouraging kids to experiment with homosexuality. This is our government. This is Health and Human Services, the Obama administration, encouraging kids to experiment with different forms of sexual behavior and find out who they really are. So absolutely, yeah. That's where we are.
And just, I want you to comment this. We've got a minute and 15 seconds left, Matt. In this paper on myths and facts about MAPS, minor attracted persons, that's a terrible phrase. Richard Kramer says, one myth is minor attracted people pursue children only to sexually victimize them. And he says, quote, many interact with minors in a variety of non-sexual ways and develop close friendships with them. Look, I'm a parent. I don't want somebody who in his mind is thinking about sex with children developing a close relationship with my young son. That's horrifying.
That's it. And again, the whole crux of the conference is to remove the that pedophiles are unfairly stigmatized and demonized. Clearly, as Dr. Reisman has said, the goal here is to soften the barriers between for pedophiles to have access to children. That's what they're trying to do here, is remove or soften those barriers. So
and we got to keep those barriers up, Matt. We've got to keep pedophilia from our universities. You're right. We have to stigmatize those individuals. Ten seconds.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. You nailed it. Sexual anarchy needs to come to an end in this culture. We need to let kids be kids and stop sexualizing them.
Absolutely. Matt, thanks so much for being on the show. We will be back next week. And go out there and make a difference. Go to AmericansForTruth.org.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.